Yuri Perez, Shane Bieber, Spencer Strider, Gerrit Cole. As top flight pitchers continue to go down in Major League Baseball, has our obsession with chasing velocity finally gone too far?
Hi, welcome to Almost Cooperstown. I'm Mark.
And this is Gordon.
And we love talking about baseball.
It's been a rough week for young, talented pitchers in the major leagues because if you're one of those, there's a good chance you came up injured this week.
Every time I watch a guy come off the mound, we were watching a pitcher for the Reds who came out through one pitch in the game today and then walked off the mound. They're like, ooh, that's not good. Anytime that happens, you're thinking he might not be back for a year and a half.
That might be Tommy John.
So, And you know, we were talking last year about Yuri Perez, how the Marlins were protecting him. They sent him to the minor leagues when they needed him to pitch. And he came back, and then he pitched for them, but he was kind of not the same at the end of the season. And now he's got Tommy John. He's gone until 2025.
And not even just 2025. It's like June of 2025.
So, and you mentioned Shane Bieber. You know, the first two starts for Bieber.
20 strikeouts in his first two starts.
And people were saying, you know, he didn't get signed traded, I should say, over the winter because people were a little uncertain about his health and was he going to come back. And then he has these two starts and he's like amazing. And like all the teams are going, oh, why didn't we go and trade for that guy?
Oh, that's why.
So, yeah. And Spencer Strider, you know, he of the finest mustache in the major leagues.
Right.
And the finest fastball, possibly. Well, one of them.
One of them. He has ulnar damage in his...
Yeah, UCL. They haven't really given him... It looks like he's going to have Tommy John, though.
But they haven't said yet what his thing. And Gerrit Cole, I think, was only resuming throwing today. And so he's still going to be a while away because he missed all of spring training pretty much. So he's going to be a while before he's fully
at least
back.
June, they're saying, before
him. Wow, it's all the way out to June now.
I think so. I think it's June.
Whoa.
So, and you know, we were going to do a different episode this week, and then all these injuries happen. And our friend Kelly Franco Troop also put it out there that, you know, is this velocity chase that the pitchers have been doing that's resulting in a cascade, as she called it, of Tommy John's? Does it take an entire generation to fix it? Well, I don't know that it's a generation by generation thing necessarily, but definitely pitchers are feeling the need to throw harder and harder because if they don't, they don't get guys
right,
out.
Right. I think what it is that in guys' quest to throw harder and harder, to hit higher and higher spin rates, they're injuring their arms more as a natural byproduct of it. I mean, you can look at that pretty much the average fastball hovered around 93 miles an hour
that used to be a pretty fast fastball.
Right, that was a standard fastball. Then since 2008, the average velocity for all pitch types, not just fastballs, is up 2 miles an hour. So the average fastball is now 95. That's a big difference. I remember in the early 90s when if you threw 95 consistently, you were like a fireballer.
And I think,
you were a guy that was known for throwing hard.
And so what's happening also is guys that had velocity, they're finding ways to increase their velocity because they're doing all these pitching, what do the Mets have?
They're doing arm strengthening exercises and pitching work to try and deliberately increase the velocity that they're throwing at.
And so they have a whole testing modicum. They're wiring the guys up, trying to see where your efficiencies lie, what you can do to increase, to make your best self go out there.
All the analytics and the data and the science that they're putting into it is going to give you an insight in how you can tweak your body. But, I mean, I don't think I necessarily agree with what Ozzie Guillen said. You know, back when he was playing, they had guys drinking 12 Budweisers and eating 3 cheeseburgers going out there and playing, and you can't pull fat. I don't think it's necessarily guys that were
pull a muscle. You can't pull fat.
Right.
That's funny.
But I think one, plenty of us out there can basically say, yeah, you could definitely pull fat. And secondly, I don't think it's that the guys were necessarily out of shape in that presented them, but I don't think they were going max effort on every single play in the same way that today's players are. Not that the players of, you know, the past weren't trying hard, but I think the exertion they're putting out on a play-by-play basis. If you're a pitcher, you have to throw max effort on every pitch. Whereas before, pacing yourself was a real part of being a starting pitcher.
And I think the guys that were that are throwing in the higher 90s or upper to upper 90s that were throwing maybe 93, 94, and they found a couple of extra miles an hour and all that. Well, not everybody's body is designed to throw 97 miles an hour, but we all think that everybody has to throw that in order to be successful.
Right, right. Nolan Ryan could throw 99 miles an hour probably today at his advanced age.
I think he could throw 90 today, and I think he's like 75
right,
years old.
Exactly. So, but we can't use him as the barometer of being right. Like, well, he was fine throwing that many innings at that speed for his entire life. Yeah, but like, not everybody is Nolan Ryan, so we can't use the greats and their ability to do some of these things as a reason why all players should be able to do them.
And we were watching the return of Edwin Diaz for the Mets, watching him, and I noticed when we were watching him pitch that he's not throwing the 100 and 101 that he was throwing when he threw for the Mets a couple of years ago. His fastball, he's gotten up to 99 in one of the outings, but 95, 96, and he's got a devastating slider. And I'm wondering if it was a knee injury, is it that he's just not fully loose yet, or is he actually holding back not trying to throw 100 miles an hour because 95 is great for him with the slider he's got, he's going to be just fine. And maybe he only needs to dial it up once in a while.
And we're going to have to see that, I think, over time with him, whether or not he'll increase and ramp up throughout this season.
Will Jacob DeGrom come back when he finally returns? And will he go back to throwing 101, 102 as regularly as he did when he was pitching for the Mets? And when you think back on that, you're thinking, it seemed crazy then to watch him do that. And based upon the injuries, it was crazy.
Right. Clearly, he could not sustain throwing the ball like that as marvelous as the results were. And I think the difficult thing for pitchers is, what do you do if you're a starting pitcher? If the only way right now we're able to get these guys out is like pitching this, it's not like you can tell these guys, well, just don't pitch max effort and accept getting hit way more often, you know, and you're gonna have a 4 or 5 ERA. Well, that doesn't get you paid. You know what gets you paid, especially as a young pitcher? Throwing 94, 95.
Well, and that's the comment Ron Darling was making about, you know, he's not the only one to make it. Everybody's saying, if you want to be noticed as a 15, 16-year-old pitcher, if you're throwing 92 or 93, you're getting noticed all of a sudden because they know they can squeeze a few more miles out of you.
And I think the scary thing is I think one of the doctors that was one of the main surgeons for Tommy John was talking about how originally when it was people getting Tommy John surgery, it was
Dr. James Andrews.
Andrews, right. It was the major leaguers, then the minor leaguers, then the college players, and then like the youth that was playing the game. And now that's the inverse. Now it's the youngest players, the people still in high school and the amateurs and the college players that are getting the majority of the Tommy John surgery. And we should not have athletes and parents looking at Tommy John surgery as saying, well, it's actually better for me financially to get it at 16, because if I do and then I have already had it, I'm not going to potentially need to get it when I'm looking to get my first contract.
And here's why I think that this should be dispelled completely, because pitchers are getting more than one Tommy John, right? There was a time where I thought, like, you got Tommy John one time.
And then you were done.
That was it. You're not going to have it anymore. You don't have the ligament there anymore, and you can't do that, but that's not the case.
Right, you're getting it a second time now, and if that's the case, we clearly have a problem. And it's one I don't think baseball has an easy solution for, because what you're running into is pitchers are running up against the limits of the human body. So unless suddenly baseball fans are okay with a great starting pitcher having an ERA of 4.5, which that's going to require a massive cultural shift.
Yeah, not likely.
I don't think it's not going to be likely if you're going to be like, oh yeah, well, he only gave up 5 earned runs last. He gave up 5 earned runs last start. That was a great start. I mean, you're going to run into that problem. If it's not that, we're going to have to do something to somehow give the pitchers an advantage back so that they do not need to be throwing and straining their arms like this just to be capable of getting major league hitters out consistently.
Well, I know you have kind of an interesting thought about that, but let's hold that for right now. And let's talk about some of the pitchers, because when I went through the list and MLB came out with a report or a Bleacher Report, that I should say, late last year, of all the pitchers that have had Tommy John, and the 15th guy, a guy named Dre Jameson for the Diamondbacks, I'm not really familiar with, but that's apparently he had great starts at the end of 2022, and he didn't pitch last year.
Right, so he's going to be coming back early this year.
But if I told you Shane Baz, who everybody knows for Tampa, Dustin May, he's still got it. Luis Garcia of the Astros, Jeffrey Springs went down last year early in the year after he got off to a great start. Tony Gonsolin of the Dodgers.
Two Dodger pitchers.
Tyler Molly, who I think is pitching now.
He's just coming back now.
Marquez of the Rockies, Herman Marquez. These are really quality. How about Walker Buehler, another Dodger? And by the way, Kershaw isn't out with the doesn't have Tommy John, but he's out with an injury as well. That's more overused. Liam Hendricks is another guy. Shane McClanahan, another star pitcher for the Rays,
went down with Tommy John. It seems to be specifically affecting star pitchers because you have like Robbie Ray over in Seattle.
Another Cy Young winner. You know, he's down. Felix Bautista, right? The Orioles were they needed him so much last year, and he's not going to pitch. He may not pitch this year.
Right, and even if he does come back, how much are you going to be able to rely on a guy that hasn't pitched in a year and a half?
How about former Cy Young winner Sandy Alcantara?
Another blow to the Marlins.
We'll talk about them. And obviously Jacob DeGrom. So you've got all these pitchers that are all on Tommy John, plus the guys we just talked about, who just got it this week.
And clearly what you're seeing is, you know what a lot of those guys all were? Where they were Cy Young winners, which means they had big seasons where they pitched a lot.
Through lots of innings,
and then they need Tommy John. So we're clearly starting to see a correlation between that. And I do agree with the MLB that the Players Union trying to suggest that the pitch clock was somehow responsible for the increase in Tommy John seems a bit...
Well, and it's funny that you say that, because I think last year when the pitch clock was being used, I suggested going, gee, I wonder how that's going to impact the pitchers with that shorter, more pitches over a shorter period. Will that result in injuries or not being able to go as deep in the game?
Right, that was more what you were concerned about.
What I was thinking. And there was a study out of Johns Hopkins that basically dispelled that, saying there's no correlation that they were able to come up with that said that the pitch clock led to those injuries.
Especially because you have to look at things. There were probably guys that were already operating inside what the current pitch clock is. We just didn't know it because there wasn't a pitch clock tracking that. So like you didn't realize, oh, well, if a guy was already normally pitching with 15 seconds and then he needed Tommy John surgery, the pitch clock didn't make him get Tommy John.
And we're coming up this year in September on the 50th anniversary of the first Tommy John surgery, and that was performed on Tommy John.
Shocking.
By Dr. Frank Jobe of Los Angeles, who was the predecessor of James Andrews. There's a couple of other surgeons that people travel to when they go and have this surgery that are known for being really good at it.
Now, I think in addition to velocity, I think one of the things is that we've really focused on here is how guys chasing velocity. I do think the increase in specifically the slider being used over the curveball also has increased the usage in the Tommy John surgery, because I think that pitch is much harder on your arm than the traditional curveball, interestingly enough, because of the violence in throwing the slider.
I think that it is a more violent pitch, and I'm very disappointed, because when I made my Frank Jobe comment, I always wanted to say the same thing. So when Tim McCarver was calling games, he said that the pitchers that went to this surgeon were the patients of Jobe. Yeah, I know. I just had to shout out to Tim McCarver.
You just had to slip it in there. You got to make sure to get that call out.
The slider is a super hard pitch on the elbow. The curveball is known to be a tough pitch on the elbow. So that's why things like the split finger for a while, it seemed to be easier to throw, and it was more about the grip than the motion.
I think one of the things that we didn't look into, but I would want to look into, is what are the rate of pitchers in the KBO and the NBP that need Tommy John surgery, because they don't throw nearly the same degree of sliders. They're much more focused on throwing the split finger. So I'm curious to see if them not throwing that kind of pitch.
That's a great point.
If they don't need to get the Tommy John surgery,
and definitely not chasing velocity the way that the Major League Baseball pitchers chase velocity. I also don't know if they are as hounds on video review and trying to look at stuff the way that now the technology.
I think they're not velocity hounds. A guy comes along like a Roky Sasaki or Yamamoto that throws incredibly hard every once in a while, but they're not trying to train pitchers into doing that. They want them to be pitchers more, I get the impression, at least.
Well, and I think that fans would be happy with that too. I mean, it's exciting to watch a pitcher go out there and throw a 102-mile-an-hour fastball past somebody, and you see the number come up on the scoreboard, and you hear the pop, and you get all excited. But you also know that how long can he sustain that kind of thing?
Right, exactly. And we've seen so many guys, closers come up, and how many guys have we seen in the setup roles or the reliever roles? They come in the seventh, they throw 102, but they're only on the team for a year or two before they flame out, and we never hear from them again.
So going back in time a little bit, I thought it was interesting. I saw that the number of pitches thrown at 100 miles an hour or higher each season increased from 147 in 2008 to 1,320 in 2017. So in just 11 years.
Right. So I think that's why it's become a much more prevalent problem in this short time frame, is you can clearly see the increase in velocity and guys trying to hit these unbelievable speeds is leading to strain on the arm that the arm can't take.
And it's interesting to look at, they came up with a list of some pitchers. Some of them I know more than I do others, but how much their velocity increased from 2023 so far in 2024. Mm-hmm. And they've added 2.5, like I was saying, 2.5 miles an hour as much on their fastball. And you just think, okay, that's, are they going to pay a price for that?
Right. But now I also look at a guy like Tarek Skubal, who was, he had previously was throwing, you know, he was up to
almost 96.
Right. And now he's up to 97.5. And so that's a big increase. He's throwing almost 2 miles an hour harder. He's almost up to 90.
Career high.
Can he do that for a full season? Or are we going to see him kind of trend back a little bit towards the 95 mark, and he just came out of the gate super hot?
And I don't know the answer to this question, but I've wondered it a number of times. So why is it that we expect left-handers not to throw quite as hard as right-handers? Like the idea of us – now, it's as much as you see them more when it comes to the soft-throwing left-hander, that's something you may not see very much. But the only left-hander that I can – you know, obviously Randy Johnson and guys like that.
I think there have always been so few left-handed pitchers, teams are more willing to accept left-handed pitch. Like they would take a guy that was a crafty – you would be much more willing as an organization to take on what was a crafty lefty over a crafty righty, because you would much rather take a shot on
– and there's more left-handed hitters. Right. So, you know, you I understand that. But like there aren't that many left-handed studs anymore or ever that are like 99, 100-mile-an-hour pitches regularly. We see them with right-handers.
I think – I honestly would love to talk about the biomechanics of both hitting and pitching and whether or not being right-handed or left-handed has some kind of effect on that based on the way you wouldn't think it would. But the fact that left-handers have different natural hitting spots, it seems like, than right-handed hitters do, and left-handed pitchers can't ever seem to throw quite as hard as right-handed hitters do. Maybe there's something about where they're facing on the mound and how it works that you would never know that unless you study the science. I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. And left-handers have increased their velocity as well.
Certainly.
The average speed for left-handed pitchers in 2021 was 92.2, which is much faster. I think it was under 90.
Right.
Before that. And basically, there are so many pitchers that throw now over, 100 miles an hour that
it's just normal. I mean, think about when you look at any of your team's bullpen. How many guys come in that just throw 97 or faster? It's like every guy, pretty much. Maybe you have like one or two guys in there, and especially if you're not counting the lefty one out guy. I guess lefty three out guy.
Right.
If you're not counting that lefty, everybody throws like 98.
Here you go. Among pitchers that threw 100 more pitches in 2008, I'm going back to the same the original look that year, those that sat 92 miles an hour threw harder than 58%. Okay, more than half of the MLB pitchers. Mm-hmm. In 2023, just last season, pitchers that sat at 92 threw harder than 17.8% than the pitchers. That's stunning.
A generational shift. Think about it. Within 20 years, that's a massive change in how hard everybody throws.
So, we did our I'm thinking of the book The Fireballer when we had Mark Stevens on. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who, supposedly threw 109, 110 miles an hour. And he, we won't give away the book, but, we didn't get to see in the story because the story sort of ended before, later on.
Just how good was he?
Or could he pitch at that level for,
Could he keep it up?
Or maybe his arm would fall off because he threw so hard. But it made me think about, okay, so how are we going to deal with these younger players throwing so hard, and do you need to put limits on them, right? Because the problem is at the youth level is that these guys are chasing velocity because they're thinking that this is their ticket to riches and taking care of their families.
Right.
And
the problem is everybody at every level has an interest in them continuing to throw as hard as they can because it benefits everybody around them. The only party in this that isn't benefited is the pitcher's body.
Thank you. You know, and when we talked about Frank Ryder, the character, and they had I thought at Major League Baseball that they need to limit his velocity. So if he throws it higher than 108 or 106, they're going to make it a ball. So forget about that, because that's an interesting premise in a book. But what if you had radar guns at high school games? Does everybody have to have a radar gun? And if the kid throws over 90 or 92 or whatever number they come up with, that it's a ball. So
it feels like you're getting a little Harrison Bergeron.
I am. That's good. I am just thinking, like, well, what can you do is the point. That's what that comes out.
Right. Right. I think what you need to do is we need to find some way to advantage the pitchers again so that they don't need to be. Because I think at the youth level, that's going to come from a change at the major league level, because young pitchers are always going to try and throw as hard as they can, because that's what you want to do as a pitcher.
Even though, when you think about the fact that them going for maximum velocity, they don't – A, their bodies are not finished growing.
Right.
Now, B, they don't even know what they're doing.
I think not encouraging coaches to not do arm strengthening stuff in that fashion is something – we can't stop players from doing it on their own. But not having high school programs doing stuff like weighted ball throwing against a wall, I think, is a totally viable idea.
That the weighted ball thing is taking a lot of heat right now. It's interesting you say that.
Well, mostly just because it's a very easy thing for anybody to understand. You can immediately see how, okay, yeah, if you were just throwing weighted balls against a wall, that is going to really strengthen your arm and allow you to throw a baseball harder. So it's a very easy example, I think.
One of the other things, and you remember our friend Dave Moriarty, he would always talk about long tossing. Like, that's something that that generation, you know, the boomers and old pitchers did a lot of long tossing in the outfield to strengthen their arm, but they also didn't throw balls to the wall as hard as they could on the mound. I don't think it's a related
long
necessarily.
But in long tossing, also, you were not throwing maximum velocity.
That's the point.
It was more about like trying to air the ball
arm out,
stretch
and,
the
and
arm
and get
out.
Loose and right. So I think long tossing has a place, but I don't think it's a panacea for solving the problem.
I don't think you'd be like, oh, well, if we just eliminate weighted ball tossing and just have them do long tossing instead, they'll be fine.
So the averages in Major League, as much as they were up last year, the hitting was better. It wasn't that much better. I think the average in Major League was like 249. So we're not at a point where the hitting is so good. It's not that good.
Right, but it's catching up already against this pitching. Guys are throwing this hard. It's already getting to 250. What happens when the league average starts creeping higher?
Well, that's because everybody's injured. Now you're facing a guy who wasn't supposed to be pitching. It's just some guy who was in the minor leagues who's now in the major leagues. All of a sudden, they can hit that guy.
Yeah, I guess facing Shane Bieber's replacement isn't as scary as facing Shane Bieber.
Right, right. So what can you do? And so why don't you say what you...
Well, I was going to say is, in 1969, we lowered the mound because the pitchers had too much of an advantage.
15 to 10 inches.
Why don't we raise... We don't have to raise it the full 15, but what if
we... Go to 12?
Go to 12, go to 13. I'm just saying that might give pitchers the ability to be able to... changing the plane that the ball's coming in on might make it so that the pitchers don't have to chase velocity as much and they can focus on more control-based stuff because they have the advantage of the better angle.
You talk about the angle, because I don't know that everybody understands.
Right, right. The difference of throwing off a 15-inch mound compared to a 10-inch mound is very different. The plane that the ball is going to be coming in at, it's going to be much more steeping down towards the hitter rather than being much more flat and level. So that's going to aid not only your fastball, but your off-speed stuff too, especially, I have to imagine, curveballs, because curveball breaks are going to be so much sharper off of a taller mound because they're going to be able to break more. So I imagine you would, and the sweeper probably loses some of its effectiveness because it's not as on a flat plane where it's as valuable.
Well, you can have more downward motion on that because of the higher mound. So I think it's an interesting idea.
Right. The only problem is that I don't know if it would do enough. Like, I don't know if like the pitchers would just be, oh, well, now we have a higher mound and I can throw 98.
Yeah, there's no question that Rob Manfred and the MLB, brass are willing to try stuff. So it would be an interesting thing to test at the minor league level or someplace to see does it have an impact.
How do you have it have an impact when the pitchers are still trained right now to chase velocity in such
a way? That's right. There's nothing you can do about that.
You're going to get messy results for a little bit.
Right. You're going to have to live with things the way they are. And we still aren't going to have a correlation between the pitch clock and that, that's what's really behind all this, because there's no way it doesn't.
Exactly.
There's no evidence for that right now, even though it sure feels
like
it would make that. So, and you know, pitchers are going to, at the major league level, should be able to do, you know, whatever they can. This is, they're professionals. These are grown, you know, men that can make their own decisions. It's the youth baseball aspect. And remember when you were a kid pitching, I think you still came in a time where dads like me might have said, I don't want you to throw a curveball for a while until you've finished growing. That was standard for years.
Yeah, right? I don't think you let me throw a curveball until I was out of Little League.
So when you see Little League World Series games and stuff like that, all they throw are curveballs, and they're wicked curveballs because they're only like, you know, 46 feet away or something like that.
Things are snapping all over
them. And these kids, you know, some of these kids are at 12 years old, they're like 6'1" and 12 years old throwing, you know, what would the equivalent of 100 mile an hour fastball, but the curveballs there. And so all I'm thinking about when I'm watching these kids throwing, going, all those curveballs, and he hasn't finished growing yet or maturing, and that puts torque on the elbow, like you were saying. And I don't really see too many Little League pitchers throw sliders, and that's hopefully a good thing. But I think we have to go there first and talk about how we're going to train these kids so they can maybe build up also their arms in a way that'll allow them to sustain that, because it's unnatural in the first place to throw a baseball as hard as you can.
Right. I think people don't realize throwing a baseball is not a natural motion in just about any capacity. It's one of the most unnatural things you can do. Throwing a baseball 99 miles an hour is very unnatural. So it's not surprising that we're straining the bodies when we're getting it to do things that it was really never meant to do.
And it's more elbows than shoulders, but we do have shoulder issues too. And Kodai Senga of the Mets has got a shoulder problem, that anytime you have a shoulder injury with a pitcher, you're really nervous because you just don't know how that's going to be repaired or if it's
right.
If
sometimes
it can be
they can come back from that really quickly. Sometimes it just lingers and they just never.
But for years, like
well.
You said to start, you know, the pitchers that got Tommy John surgery, you know, it was almost a relief when you got that, right? Okay, I got the surgery.
I'm done.
Now I can do my rehab, and now I can come back, and I don't have to worry about that anymore.
And you have to worry about
that's,
it now.
That's not the case. And it's interesting, when we mentioned James Andrews, who finally retired, and I think he was in his 80s when he retired. Al Leiter was one of those guys to say he thinks that Andrews should be one of those guys who goes to the Hall of Fame.
For the contribution to the game? Hard to ignore.
I think, and Frank Jobe was the guy who did it first, but I think there are a few surgeons. I mean, James Andrews has done so many surgeries on so many major league pitchers.
Right. He is like the major league concierge surgeon.
The pitcher whisperer. So, pitchers in high school are now regularly throw over 90 miles an hour.
Right. And the problem is pitchers in high school are also regularly getting Tommy John, and that's the problem.
Yeah. And I don't know how you put that genie, if you will, back in the bottle. Short of doing some wacky stuff,
and
like,
I don't
like
know
penalizing guys
and
for
and
going too hard.
And it's not something major league. It's not major league's job to.
But Major League obviously has a stake in this,
right?
So,
but it is not. They can't regulate Little League.
They can't regulate high school baseball
or college baseball. They're not part of any of that. So,
but they could take some of the vast riches that they have and put into some developmental programs at lower echelons and try to help these people find out what's the best way to treat these pitchers. And Major League Baseball has plenty of money to do that. I've never seen them do that kind of a thing, but it would be a step in
the
right direction.
Maybe it'd be a benefit to the, you know, baseball as a whole.
So chasing velocity, that's not going to stop.
No,
because you know everybody wants that. You know, to watch that pitcher throw 106 miles an hour like Aroldis Chapman. But if he can't ever pitch again, all of a sudden you're gonna have a bunch of guys throwing under 100 because no one can throw that.
Nobody's
anymore.
Left.
So I don't know what the solution is. I like your thought of testing something else. So maybe that'll be something we can do.
Thank you for listening. You can follow us on your favorite podcast platform or follow us on YouTube, where we have video form of these podcasts.
Or you can also follow us on social media, on Insta, on Twitter, or on Facebook at Almost Coop. Thanks for listening.